Looking for the perfect gift for your mother, father, wife, husband, son, daughter, or other potential blood versus water partner? The Cyber Monday deals week on Amazon is like cream cheese, which, from what I understand, is a good thing. Save big this holiday season and support Rob Has a Podcast just by starting your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon in the U.S. and robhasawebsite.com/Amazon CA for our listeners in Canada, or go right to the Cyber Monday deals homepage by clicking the banners in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. It's the Survivor Know-It-Alls live after a two-hour episode of Survivor San Juan del Sur. So much to break down here tonight with this man. Here he is, a man that you would never kick out of your king-size bed. It's Stephen Fishback.
Rob, I already know that. You know, I just came back from work, and, you know, I want to, like, sit and talk to my friend, and here you want to like podcast.
I know, but I
want
to tell you about what just happened over the last 2 hours.
You don't know
what
it's like
to
come from work. You don't know what it's like to come from work. I just, can't we just spend time together?
No, but there's so many things that I have to talk to you about right now, and you're not listening to me.
Well, I love you.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm going to sit here now the next 5 hours, and I'm not saying anything.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. You're absolutely right. You know,
can we just do this?
No, you know what? I just wanted to spend time with my podcast friend. I'm sorry.
All right. Love you, Schmoopy. All right. Love you. Let's get some spaghetti. All right. Oh, boy. We've got 2 hours of Survivor to talk about and took some twists and turns tonight.
Did it take twists and turns, or was it the exact thing we predicted would happen last week?
It was
Pro-pocalypse.
Yes. If going into tonight, I said, yeah, probably we're going to lose 2 out of 3 of Reed and Alec and Keith. But I'd say it didn't go exactly the way that we expected it to. Yeah, we got here and we have some real intrigue heading into next week's episode, because for about an hour and 45 minutes tonight, I was absolutely salivating at Natalie's gameplay. And by the end of the 2 hours, I was like, no, Twinny, you fool. What are you doing, Twinny? Come on.
I had the same experience. I was like, oh, I was just counting all the fishies I was going to give her. Do I give her 16 fishies for this episode or 24?
Twinny,
and
no.
She's getting no fishies for this episode because final decision within like 20 minutes goes from a really perfectly played episode to kind of a squandered opportunity.
Okay, so much to talk about here tonight on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. Of course, we're live. It's super interactive. We want to hear from you guys in the chat room. Also on Twitter, hashtag RHAP. And on our YouTube channel at postshowrecaps.com. I'm doing too many postshowrecaps at robswebsite.com/YouTube. And Steven, some big news.
Stop cross promoting. I don't want to hear about your, you know.
That was an accident. That was a Freudian cross promotion.
Your mistress podcast, you know.
All right.
Can you be loyal to me? All right. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, that's right. And Steven, we have so much big news in the world of Rob Has a Podcast this week because we have made the switch, and much like John and Jacqueline, John and Jacqueline potentially, we have flipped, Steven, and we have moved, and Rob Has a Podcast now has a new home, and we are now a part of Podcast One on podcast1.com, and I'm very excited to be on Podcast One. This is a great opportunity.
Awesome.
Rob Has a Podcast. If you haven't heard of Podcast One, they represent a lot of the top podcasters out there. They deal with talent. So I'm not sure why we're there, but yeah, they're dealing with the top talent in podcasting. And so very excited to be there along the likes of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Really?
Yeah. Rich Eisen, Jim, we got Jim Ross, a real slobber knocker over there. So lots of the top podcasts are on Podcast One. And so is now Rob Has a Podcast. I do want to apologize to everybody who a lot of people said, my iPod is freaking out, or my iPhone's freaking out, or my iTunes is freaking out. It's downloading 200 shows. If that happened, I apologize. That's just a side effect.
Great. More downloads.
That's a smart strategy, Rob. We're not going to kick that out of the canopy bed. Yes, but that was not the intended. In switching over the servers, that was sort of a side effect because your iTunes thinks, hashtag wink wink. Your iTunes is thinking that here's all these new shows, but it's like, no, I already listened to those shows. But anyway, so I apologize to you if that happened. It won't happen again because we're going to be staying on the Podcast One servers. So there we are. If you want to see more about what's on Podcast One, go to podcastone.com. Otherwise, your Rob is a podcast listening experience. Should not change other than you'll be able to hear us in more places. So
That's awesome.
Very exciting. Well,
that's exciting. That's really exciting.
Big news. Big news for Rob Has a Podcast and Survivor Know-It-Alls. We're
already on the top of the TV and film pod. There's nothing else I could ask for than to consistently beat Grantland on the TV and film podcast boards.
All right. Well, there's still always more mountains to climb. And Steven, so let's talk about this tonight. And it sounds like we're in agreement on a rare occasion here for Natalie. Yeah. Of what is Natalie thinking? Why would she, at the end of this episode, go into the final six and blindside Muffin, blindside John and Jacqueline to go ahead and keep Keith over Alec? What is the attraction there?
It's such a weird, trivial play. And I mean, Natalie, it looked like was in this incredible position where she was in this top five that was unbreakable. Muffin trusts her implicitly. Baylor trusts her implicitly. John trusts her implicitly. Jacqueline is a little bit suspicious of her, but she's got a pretty clear lockdown path to the final five. And it looked like a really clear path to the final three with Muffin and Baylor, two perfect jury goats with her going into the final three with her. And then she decides to mix things up. I don't get it.
Yeah, you know what it felt like to me, Steven? It was like she had her heart set so badly on, I'm going to make a big move. I'm going to make a big move. I'm going to change the game. I'm going to change the narrative. This is my game right now. And then the big move wasn't there. And she took the shot anyway. And she took a bad shot for no reason. There's absolutely no, I can't see any benefit why keeping Keith in the game is better than Alec. Alec would have done whatever.
Right.
I mean, it's not like Keith and Natalie were tight the whole game. I don't see it. And now nobody's going to trust Natalie. And she had everybody's trust. She had everybody right where she wanted them.
Everybody's trust. Yes. She was like scheming to blindside John. And John was like, I trust Natalie more than anybody. I mean, I agree with you about her motivation. She had like locked into this idea of like, I'm going to screw over John, and then like screwing over John in a big way, like voting him out. Like that's really screwing him over. But then when you get down to like, I'm going to screw over John by marginally tweaking the vote and kind of a trivial decision between Alec and Keith that no one really cared about. Like that's a really, really strange way to screw over John. And I agree. It's because she got locked into this idea. I don't even think the idea was good. I mean, no. I think the idea to blindside John in the first place is a mistake for Natalie. Like I said, she was in a great position. Why screw it up? Why give these two guys, Keith and Alec, leverage? You know, can we talk through like what hypothetical, like what possibly could she have been getting? Like, let's just like extend our minds to the furthest reaches of space and try to imagine what she possibly could have wanted. What possible gain Keith could have given her?
Because I think she felt like that she was going to keep Keith in the game. Again, I don't agree with the move, but let me tell you why I think she did it.
Yeah.
Was because she felt like, I'm going to keep Keith in the game. I still have Baylor. Missy isn't going away from Baylor. And so now getting down to six, I'm going to control Baylor and by proxy Missy, and then control Keith here, and I'm going to control four of the final six. But
yeah,
I don't necessarily agree with the logic there.
I think you're right. I think that's what she's thinking. She's got, Keith, even got Baylor and Missy. And then so she's got someone in her back pocket. You know, someone in your back pocket is someone you want when there's 16 people left in the game, not when there's, you know, seven. It's just like two. It's a weird move to try to secure someone who's not that helpful to you. If Keith, if you and Keith have a bond, send him to the jury bench, you know, like if you, like where he can vote for you. Don't like do this weird move to keep him around one extra vote and piss off the two power players.
Yeah, and I feel like it wasn't a necessary move because don't you feel like that Natalie had things squared away the way she wanted to, where they were going to vote out Keith, they were going to vote out Alec, and then it was going to get down to the final five. And then don't you feel like John and Jacqueline were 4 and 5?
Oh, totally. And look, I think maybe Natalie is worried that like Missy and John have this weird relationship. You know, we saw a little bit of that where Baylor was like worried about John's relationship with Missy, not obviously not in a sexual way, but in a way of like, she's going to do anything for him because he's her guy now. But, you know, we also saw she had a really strong relationship with Natalie. And when it comes down to five, right, both couples are going to be vying for that third vote, for her vote. You know,
you're right. Go ahead. You're right. No, I'm sorry. I'm getting excited. You finish.
No. I mean, that was it. It's just like there was no even like the idea of. Yeah, I don't know. There's just no reason to screw. She's in a perfect position. You know, I think people just get like they want to make a move late in the game and they don't think like I'm, you know, that's why Sophie's game was so good, was because she knew not to make a move.
Yeah. And even if she's concerned that, okay, at the final five, they're going to come after me. And the two couples, like, let's say her fear is that, okay, Missy is in love. She's in love with John. She's going to go with John. She's going to take John to the end. And she wants John. At the final five, she has an idol.
She's got an idol.
She has
That's
an
it.
Idol. And she says, you can vote for me if you're a fool, but you can't because I have an idol. And it's not me and Baylor's idol. I exaggerated that. So, I mean, she has an idol in her pocket. And I feel like she's in such a good spot to win the game.
Such a good spot to win the game.
Twinny,
totally
no, Twinny.
I totally agree. I think she was really like Natalie until she did this tonight was probably in the best place to win. And, you know, you see it. It's the Albertitis. You know, you just want to like make a dumb move just for the sake of doing something.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of this is, you know, it seems like Jeff was frustrated with the players like towards that vote tonight where he was like, hey, so you got an opportunity. There's five of you guys here tonight. So is somebody going to make a big move? Is somebody going to do something and prove to the jury that, you know, Jeff is visibly frustrated. And we saw that in part one of the episode, which we'll talk about later. But it's like,
that was hilarious. I'm excited to talk about that.
I wonder how much of that is a trickle down where, you know, are there producers saying like, hey, somebody's got to make a big move. Somebody's got to shake things up. You gotta, this is getting boring. Somebody's got to shake it up. Let's go ahead and do something crazy.
Yeah, he really was chomping at the bit to like get to make something happen with your ear.
Yeah, show and the jury how badly you want that money.
Right, prove that you deserve to win by making a trivial decision between Alec and Keith that's going to alienate your entire alliance.
Yeah, and I really didn't think it was going to happen. I thought this was all just a red herring, but I'm very surprised to see that Alec is the one to go home. You know, of course, I didn't even set this up at the top of the show. I'm so excited about the two-hour episode tonight to talk about it. Of course, we're going to have double exit interviews tomorrow, so wow. Reed and Alec will talk to on the exit interview podcast.
At the same time, or separately?
No, they used to do it separately, or they used to do it together. They used to get on like on a phone call, and it'd be like, okay, here are the two people that got eliminated right. in the same episode. And it's
so
like,
weird, right? Like, and then one person's not talking while the other is. Like, and they all like occasionally chime in. Yeah.
Here's Nayanka and Purple Kelly. That was the one time it wasn't that awkward.
Right. You could get the Purple Kelly one out of the way.
Yeah, that was like, Purple Kelly, are you still on the call? Purple Kelly, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, but I'm here.
That's why I think they scheduled this double boot tonight, right? It was like the Reed Alec boot that kind of like, all right. You know, like that's the move.
Yeah. I think that could potentially be why they did it. And there was too much going on there to make it just one 2-hour episode or 1-hour episode. But that being said, we're going to talk to Reed. We're going to talk to Alec tomorrow on the Exit Interview podcast. Then, Steven, it's that time of year. We have our big Tyson cast coming up tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Full podcast with Tyson, host and musical guest Tyson. So he's staying on he's going to take your questions from Facebook. He's going to take your voicemails. We're all in with Tyson tomorrow.
Are you like, is he, I'm amazed. It's like, from just following him on Facebook, it's like, he's always in some new tropical location. Yeah. Maybe he gets like phone service, wherever he is.
No, I think he's back home tomorrow. He's caught up on the entire season now. He's been keeping me posted. He's kind of binge watched it over the last couple of weeks, but Tyson is caught up. We'll talk to Tyson tomorrow.
He's tweeting up a storm tonight, so I guess he has internet.
Yes, he's worked up. He's worked up and excited. So good to talk to Tyson on the podcast tomorrow. So that's coming up as well. So a lot to do. And also, we did our Cody cast earlier this week. We did a bonus podcast. We've got more bonus podcasts for covering this episode coming up this weekend. So a lot of Survivor in the offing.
Yeah, I love some offing of Survivor.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So let's go ahead and how about this?
Let's talk about this. Well, let's talk about it.
How about this move for Natalie? Would you have preferred if, instead of the move, okay, well, let me save Keith instead of Alec, which I think is sort of like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
It's steering the Titanic into the iceberg
and then rearranging the deck chairs.
Yeah.
It's like moving the Titanic into the iceberg. It's like, cause we can get a better view of the icebergs, of the deck chairs. Anyway, so would you have preferred if Natalie, if she wants to blindside John so bad, why not take out Jacqueline at that spot?
Jacqueline? Right. Exactly. If you want to blindside John, vote out Jacqueline. The problem with that is then John knows. Then next week, what do you do? Because you know John is going to play his idol. You're kind of at a loss next week. So what about just not blindsiding John this week?
Yeah. These 20s. 20. Yeah. So you fool. So upset. So upset with Natalie.
Yeah.
She had it all right there on the silver platter. Let's talk about her decision to take John and Jacqueline to bed with her.
Yeah, right? Takes them to bed, loves them, and leaves them, you know? Like sleeps with them and says, votes them out.
Yeah, because Stephen, I have...
What's going on?
According to my... I have a book right here, Stephen.
Yeah.
I have a rule book of Survivor, and it says in this rule book, hey, if you sleep in a bed with somebody, it means that you're in alliance with them. And Natalie had a clear violation of this rule book.
The BR rules.
Yes. What's up
with
that?
You don't want to violate the BR rules.
She violated the BR rules. Karma is a you-know-what, and that's why she's in a bad position now.
Should we do the know-it-alls, do the 46 BR rules?
46 BR rules. Yeah. Smarten up, yeah. Steven. Smarten up.
Smarten up. That's like 1 through 45.
That's one of them. But it was beautiful. It was such fun Survivor. And she's like plying him with wine. Like, yeah, she's like, drink the wine.
He didn't have to be plied with wine. Wine is a what is it? Wine is a limitless conversation topic or something. What is it? What was it?
I don't know. That you can like talk all you want about wine and you're only scratching the surface.
He said something like wine is like a, it's just like a conversation. Someone tell me what's going on here.
Yes. Yeah. And so, but she was like, oh, she's like, oh, you can have my wine. And he's like, hey, that's awesome, man. And here's the, I have the idol and I trust you so much. And it was, she really played that perfectly.
Yeah. She really played it perfectly. So perfectly that, yeah, I mean, he totally bought into it. Jacqueline sniffed it a little bit though, right?
The wine?
Well, she did sniff the wine. You know, she's dating a sommelier, so she needs to, like, you know, she probably like swirled it around and tested the lees. She could see that Natalie was a little bit suspect.
Yeah, they did feel like there was something weird going on, but ultimately they felt good. And John is doing the thing where he's like, I trust you so much. Let me tell you what's going on. Okay, I'm going to tell you. You're going to be voted out.
John, it's interesting that John really uses the idol and like. There's something about John where like everything he does kind of seems stupid, but like not everything he does is stupid. You know, I think a lot of what John does and says actually has a lot of intelligence behind it, even if like a lot of the other stuff he says is actually really stupid. So I think the way he uses his idol is often like very intelligent. You know, he really uses it to reinforce his bonds in the game. You know, he shows it to Missy. He shows it to Natalie. And he does a good job, I think, of using the idol as kind of a bond to rally people. Now, in this case, it obviously doesn't work, but I think in the past it has for him.
Mm-hmm. I agree that it has. That is how he's using it. But just by the fact that he was showing it to Natalie, who has a vendetta against him and is like trying to play up the whole revenge is a dish best served cold. But she went for it when it was lukewarm. She didn't let it get cold enough.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. It is interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so let's stay on the John and Jacqueline subject, because we had the War of the Roses with John and Jacqueline tonight. The biggest fight I think we've ever seen with a couple, not since it looked like RC and Pete looked like they were going to be a thing in Survivor Philippines.
Does that ever look like that? Was
like one episode. Have we had this public of a breakup on the show? Certainly off the show.
This was definitely the stupidest episode. That first half was so stupid.
Tell us how smart John is, Stephen.
Yeah. Well, I actually thought John, you know what, as a boyfriend though, right? Like, come on, give John some props here for like what he was doing as a boyfriend. Like,
I give him no props for how he conducted himself.
He was a little annoyed with Jacqueline because like he comes back, he wants to give her hugs and kisses, and she just wants to talk strategy. He's like, come on, like we don't need this paranoia. She gets really upset, and what does he do? He immediately says, "You're right. You know, I'm so sorry. Can we talk about this?" He gives her hugs. I felt like he was being a grade A boyfriend.
Well, I don't know. That's not how Jacqueline saw it.
I know. I think Jacqueline was tough on him. I think John was being really good.
I just like it blows my mind where you're on Survivor with your significant other, and you've been on Exile Island, and that your first thought isn't, "Oh my God, tell me everything that's going on." It's just like, "Oh, I miss you so much. I just wanted to be around you."
Some people
you
think with their hearts, Rob. Some people think with their hearts.
Well,
not their heads.
Those aren't good Survivor players.
Yeah. No, look, I agree. Like, he should want to hear what she has to say, but like, to be honest, like the things she's saying are kind of like, you know, basic, right? Like, the guys who I was stuck with tried to convince me that our alliance is trying to turn on us, right? Like, oh, really? Reed is trying to like sow paranoia and like get us to flip? I think John's reaction to that, like, I think he didn't like express it that well because he was like, "I know that." But I think, you know, his basic reaction, which is like, yeah, duh, Reed is trying to like make you feel like your alliance wants to turn on you. Of course he is. Like, that's actually a pretty good reaction.
Is it?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Did I lose you?
No, That's a pregnant pause, Stephen.
I thought it was a pregnant like internet.
No, a pregnant pause of all things when we're talking about John and Jacqueline, Stephen. We want to know what happened when then John went and spent half an hour with Missy, and you know this drives him crazy. And I suspect that maybe Jacqueline feels like there's already some mom issues with John and Jacqueline, where she's like, you know, the girlfriend doesn't like that when she thinks that the mom is calling all the shots.
Well, I get that, but I also felt like Jacqueline was like, he shouldn't be spending time with her. She's not mad at him. I'm mad at him. Like, she's using her being mad at him. But she's using her anger as a way of like getting him to pay attention to her. I think that's not a really good relationship strategy, and I would advise them to work on that.
Yeah, and then after 5 hours went by, I'm like, when is Tribal Council tonight? It's really
On days of Tribal Council, the typically the challenge is pretty early, right? You wake up, maybe you have time to cook some rice, and then you go to the challenge, and then you do really have all day to kind of like, you know, mess around.
And anyway, so with the Jacqueline thing, then he goes and tries to apologize to her, and then she's like, no, and then he like snaps back at her and is like, well, then fine, then I'm not talking to you either then.
I mean, it was like it was like the most sort of like quintessential and most boring relationship argument you could possibly have, where it was just like a little sniping, you know, you raised your voice with me at this moment, like, who cares? Like, does anybody watch Survivor for this? Like, is anybody watching Survivor for like a dating couple kind of like getting hissy, like pissy with each other?
I was interested.
Jeff Probst is interested, and you're interested.
I was interested. I was like, okay, this is something I've never seen before. I was a little interested to see where it was going. And ultimately, I felt bad for Reed because ultimately it ended up with, and as Jacqueline said to him, like, Reed was kind of like, hey, Jacqueline, so could we, is there any chance that you guys could get on the same page? Because I'm going to be the one that gets voted out tonight.
Like,
and
I'm she's like, voted well, out because this couple's not talking
that's
to
fine.
Other.
But, you know, if he's going to be that way, then that's how it's going to be. It's like, this is like a worst nightmare.
Yeah. Definitely, like, that is a terrible, can you imagine like being on Survivor, like you've been watching the show for years. You're a huge super fan. You've been playing hard. Finally, you have a one last opportunity to scramble for your fate. And like, you can't, because this couple is that's a nightmare situation.
Like, you have to try to like play like matchmaker of like, hey, Jacqueline, like John told me to tell you that he's sorry and he wants to meet you you at, at sundown at the well. And then it's like, oh, hey, yeah. John, Jacqueline says she's sorry. She wants to meet you by the well so she could apologize.
Oh, what did you want to talk? I didn't want to talk. Reed told me you'd be here. Reed told me you'd be here.
Yes. Yeah. It was very funny. It was not Survivor gameplay at its finest.
No. But you know what? You could say that about the whole season.
Yeah, but I was interested. Okay, well, let's talk about how we ended up in this situation with John and Jacqueline, and let's talk about the pecking order challenge.
Yeah, which classic challenge.
And again, I had tweeted this during the episode that I thought it was a good spot for the pecking order challenge because this is a season of players who are not familiar with the game, and so the people that were in the the pecking order were like falling right into the trap and walking right into it, but they were being okay, so who should we chop next? Who should we do next? And I loved what Jeff did tonight. I know a lot of people are probably gonna have a problem with it, but I loved it.
He's like, screw it, just make a choice. Here's why I didn't like it, Rob, and let's talk about it, because I felt like he kind of like rushed him into it. You know, like they didn't, that's probably what was gonna happen, but like they didn't have the opportunity to actually get down. He's like, so Missy's just gonna win? So Missy's gonna win? Fine, Missy, you win. And like everyone's like, all right, okay, sure, yeah. Like, but that's not like, no one had the opportunity to be like, hold on, like, we don't know if Missy would win.
Well, here's what I suspect happened. I suspect that they probably got warned to stop collaborating about what they were doing, like in probably a very terse way from Jeff about
really?
Like,
I don't know.
I bet he's like, guys, like, stop it. Knock it off. If you do this again. And then finally it's like, well, I got an idea. How about we just cancel the challenge? Why don't you guys go do everything?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, that's a little bit like, this is like the most aggressive in this whole season. I feel like a tribal council just been like, I mean, come on, Keith, play your freaking idol. Play your freaking idol, Keith. You know, like last week, like I feel like Jeff's been really aggressive this whole season with like kind of coaxing the players into doing something that they might not even want to do. Or, you know, like today with Natalie too, he's like, someone's got to flip, right? Come on, Natalie, like make a freaking move here. I certainly felt like that was the case with this challenge, where it was a little bit over the top, where he was like, yeah, you're done. You know what? I'm through with this. I've seen this shit 1,000 times. Missy, you win. You go to exile, John. And Jacqueline, you're going to be pissed off. All right, let's go.
Steven, once you've had a Tony season, it's hard for Jeff to go back to a non-Tony season.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we're feeling that, right? That's how I feel.
Yeah, nobody would leave a Tony country to come to a non-Tony country.
Yeah.
And so the problem here was, you know, Jeff is a little spoiled after last season of like all of the big moves and big swings that happened in the game. And so, but I really love that he did this because I felt like we ended up getting more drama out of it than if they sort of would have worked it out themselves. By having to like make them speed through it. It's like, you know, you had ultimately Jacqueline end up feeling like, hey, I got screwed over here. Whereas if it would have played out naturally, I think she might have had better feelings about it.
But then Jeff is just like playing the game himself, you know, like, and then too, even when like he's asking them questions, like Reed's like, stop being a brat, Baylor. And Jeff's like, Missy, did you hear that? Reed said she's a brat.
I like that, Steven.
As a mother, Missy. Like, and she's like, oh yeah, I'm upset as a mother, I guess. Like, but then it's like, I agree, like it's coaxing a narrative, but it's also like someone is writing it, you know? It's not like emerging naturally. Like Jeff is just like telling people what to feel and what to think.
Who came off worse in give me the ding marry kill of who came off worse? Reed, Baylor, or
came
Missy.
Off worse, right?
Yeah, like this I thought Missy
move,
did
that's
too.
Like the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. No, I hate it when Missy has to jump in and like, you know, he's like, you know, Reed's like, oh, Baylor's a brat. Now he shouldn't have said that, but I just hate it when Missy has to jump in. Like, what did you just say? Did you just call my kid a brat?
But like this time, like Jeff was like, what did he just say? Did he just call your kid a brat?
I mean, Missy like, ends up like, giving him the finger by the time she's walking off.
I know. That's the move I did.
Yeah. Yeah. So if it was Baylor, like, hey, you know what, Reed, you know what, stick it where the sun don't shine. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. How about, I give you a, you know, a sticky situation right in the face. How about that?
Wow.
I don't know what that means. But I feel like if it's Baylor sticking up for herself, then, you know, she doesn't like get, you know, jump in until like, hey, nobody talks about my mom that way. It's like I get a little bit of a Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo vibe sometimes.
But that's why I don't like Jeff jumping in. Like, you don't have the opportunity for like the actual people to like, you know, have their natural response. Yeah. You have Jeff telling them what response to have.
After Reed calls Baylor a brat, I want to hear Baylor say,
"Shut your mouth, homie G."
Yeah. Why don't you shut your mouth, homie G?
Where's that from? Is that a new?
That was Baylor from last week.
Homie G?
Yeah.
I remember that. I don't remember that.
And then her mom said,
"I'm not talking to you. Well, I heard smarty it. Poo."
Yeah. I'm not talking to you, smarty poo.
Wow, that was from the immunity challenge, right?
Yeah, it was from the immunity challenge last week. Yeah. So let's talk about Missy's decision. So Missy became the winner of the challenge, and right. I liked, like, so Jeff's like, all right, who's the winner of the challenge? And Missy's like, I am. I'm the winner. I'm the winner of the challenge. And so she's the winner, and then she has to make the decision. How bad was her picking?
All right. I was in a similar situation on my season where I made some picks.
Similar situation.
And my picks were similar, where I picked my alliance and I sent the odd man out of my alliance to exile. And, you know, it looked like, but like, you just don't know, you know, like there are certain things you have to do in that situation when you win. And I think like, obviously Missy picks Baylor, right? Like she has to pick Baylor. I also think she kind of has to pick Natalie, because I think like you need to keep your allies close. And I think that's what some people forget when they see these reward challenges and they're like, oh my God, you're picking your allies. Like, how stupid are you to do that? But like, your allies are only your allies because you're picking them. You know, they're only your allies because you're showing them that trust and that affection. You have to like be able to maintain those alliances. I don't hate the pick.
But if anybody could have, you know, gone back to camp and you wouldn't have to worry about them flipping, it would have been Natalie. The person who's giving up these rewards left and right. I mean, Natalie wouldn't have flipped. You could have taken Jacqueline. You would have sealed.
I think it's easy to say for us, Frank, because we were seeing the confessionals.
It's
easy
for
us
to say because we're good players, Stephen.
No, I made the same choice. I chose JT when I went on my reward, and everyone's like, oh my God, why did you choose JT? Obviously, JT would be loyal to you if you didn't pick him. You know what? Like, if I didn't pick him, I'm not sure he would have been loyal to me. You know, I think if you make those choices where you're like kind of making your allies feel like less loved, they're not going to be as loyal.
So was it a dumb move on Missy's part to say that she's the winner of the challenge?
That is, I mean, again, like winning that challenge is a winning that reward or any reward is a dumb move. And I think, like, you know, as someone who made that dumb move, that is a mistake to win that challenge.
Yeah. I feel like it was just like putting too much on, you know, too much of a spotlight on yourself and then having to make that decision. Because, and then she had the gall to then be complaining about when John and Jacqueline got to go on the bed reward with Natalie. They have to rub it in my face that I have to see them sit there.
Missy is not winning any popularity contest.
Yeah, settle down, Muffin.
Yeah, settle down, Muffin.
Nobody complained. When you got to, like, oh, I didn't even get to sleep. Didn't you go on an overnight reward to the horse ranch?
They went horseback riding. Is there any greater thing you want to do after being starved in the wilderness than horseback riding?
Yeah. Well, that's anytime you could do that. Fantastic.
Lovely. Horses are beautiful animals.
I had to go horseback riding after I lost Survivor in the All-Stars, and it was adding insult to injury, Stephen. It was terrible.
With Rudy?
With Rudy and with Tina.
Wow. I bet, come on, the three of you guys holding hands and galloping, I bet that was...
No, Stephen, the horse tried to kill me.
Oh, yeah. You had one of those assassin horses.
Yeah. Yeah. Boston Rob put him up to it. The horse tried to kill me. Okay. What else from tonight's episode? I feel like there's so many different things that we're missing.
There's a big episode. You know, I think, like, you know, let's talk about Reed for a second. Reed like made like a fair effort to like, you know, to flip the vote. I think it was interesting. Like it really seemed like they managed to successfully prey on Jacqueline's insecurities, but didn't pan out, obviously. I mean, what did you think of that? Did Reed do like the best he could do, or is there something else he could have done?
Well, here's what I thought was the potential problem. I felt like John and Jacqueline, to me, felt like they were the 4 and 5 in everybody's group. And yeah. So I felt like they were 4-5 with Reed and Alec and Keith. And I felt like they were 4-5 with Missy and Baylor and Natalie. And right. I would have liked to have seen, and maybe it didn't happen on screen, but I would have liked to have seen Reed come to them and say, hey, we're the final three. Okay, yeah. we'll get to the final five with me, you, and Keith. And I swear to you on, you know, Spider-Man's soul that it's the three of us. We're going
that
to the
final
three.
That is what they didn't do. I completely agree with you.
And so nobody gave them a final three deal. Maybe Missy did. Maybe Muffin did. Oh, no, she can't get a job. She's a forget it. She gave her final four. And that's that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that was Reed's mistake, was like saying I can guarantee you a trip to the final three better than, but you know what? Like John's response to that, well, I thought actually was kind of good. John was like, I trust you more than anybody else out here, which obviously he doesn't. Obviously he trusts Reed less than anybody else out here, but he lied straight to Reed's face.
Well, I did think he did a good job with the wink, wink thing. The problem was that Jacqueline didn't see the wink, wink thing. And it was sort of like almost like a situation like with Keith at Tribal Council last week, where there was like a misunderstanding of what was going on. And yeah. So then like when Natalie sat down, I think then Jacqueline was like, oh, we're talking about the plan with Reed. Why is he now? Now he's like done with this plan with, you know, and even though he was giving like Reed, like the wink, wink, like I'll see you later.
Yeah, no.
And it was good because it held Reed off also.
Right, it did hold Reed off.
So I thought John did a good job with that tonight.
And Natalie did a good job there too, right? Like Natalie shows up at like just the perfect moment. Yeah.
Okay. Steven, let's go ahead. Let's start to fire up the questions. Actually, one more thing I want to talk about. Can we talk about the Alec, John, Jacqueline love triangle?
I bet Alec is like high-fiving himself. That was like so weird. When Alec like... Do you think Alec liked the idea that he was flirting with Jacqueline? I feel like he was kind of into it.
Oh yeah. I think we've seen the Christie brothers checking out Jacqueline before this season. I thought the odd part to me was John's reaction to it.
He was totally cool.
Yeah. He's like
all right, yeah. And Alec's trying to flirt with Jacqueline.
Now
do you, son?
Did you say, and it's even weirder, did you watch the secret scene from last week when they were on the boat?
You know, I didn't.
Okay. that's fantastic. There's a secret team where they're on the boat and Alec is talking about how good Jacqueline's butt looked in front of John. He's like, yeah.
He's such a bro. You know, he's like such a bro. He's like, yeah, my bros hit on my girl. Of course they do. Cause she's my girl. You know, like it's this weird bro mentality that we can't understand.
Yeah. I feel like that would be very awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I'm not one of them. I don't understand it.
Yes. So you're not open to that.
I mean, no.
No. All right. Yeah. You got to shut that down. All right. So, Stephen, we're going to go ahead and fire up the questions in just a bit. I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of Rob Has a Podcast and Survivor Know-It-Alls. And those are our friends over at JibJab.com. And, Stephen, JibJab.com is the best alternative to going out and spending a lot of money on all sorts of expensive greeting cards for all the people that you want to send some holiday cheer to this December.
I love you. My brother did one of their Thanksgiving cards, and literally we were watching it at the Thanksgiving dinner table. Like everyone pulled out their devices and like watched his Jib Jab card. It brings families together. It brought my family together.
Yes, and it brings Steven and I together, because if you want to check out our newest Jib Jab creation, you can go to robisawebsite.com/JibJab. You can even check it out while I'm talking about Jib Jab here for the next minute or so, because Steven and I posted the video of the time you and I got into the big snowball fight with
Tony,
Aris, and our guest for tomorrow, Tyson.
That was a classic snowball fight, and there were some high drinks.
Yes. Anyway, so avoid
a sleepover after. Anyway,
avoid all the pain of sending out your holiday cards. Send out hilarious e-cards through JibJab.com. You know, you can do the funny dancing elves. You can put your face in. You could put yourself in a Meghan Trainor video, Stephen.
Oh, that's great. All about that bass?
Yeah. No, I think it's actually the real song. It's not even a parody.
All like, about that bass.
Yeah, it's all about
that's
it.
That's awesome.
It's all about
I love,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Truly, their cards are great. I mean, they're like always, always funny.
Anyways, share personalized holiday greetings starring your friends and family or even Survivor players. Make your card on JibJab from your computer, tablet, or phone in seconds. Pick up a card, upload a picture, type a greeting, hit send. It saves you money and hours of work and gives you an unlimited number of funny personalized cards for every occasion, not just the holidays. Everybody loves getting their JibJab card, so make yours right now. You'll get an extra discount on JibJab.com with promo code RHAP. That's JibJab.com with promo code RHAP. All right, Stephen, let's fire up the question machine.
Bring him.
Okay, Scott, load up the questions for tonight's Survivor Know-It-Alls. Execute. Okay.
All right.
Here we go.
Travis Survivor fan, Travis Hero wants to know, what move can Jacqueline or Baylor make to not be seen as goats? Is it too late for them? I think that's a really, really good question, Rob.
Not be seen as greatest of all time?
Not be seen.
They've made a lot of the keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You will not be seen as greatest of all time.
Salvage the game for themselves.
Jacqueline and Baylor as goats.
Baylor or Jacqueline?
I mean, I don't think that either of them are necessarily being seen as goats right now.
Baylor is seen as a goat.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that she's less of a goat than Missy.
Missy and Baylor, like, what could Baylor do? Let's just like narrow this. Because it's a really good question. You know, final seven, right? You've kind of coasted to get here. You've relied on other people to sort of make key moves for you. I'm not saying that's true necessarily of Jacqueline, who's been like a pretty like crucial part of the decision-making process for her alliance. But like Baylor, maybe more so, right? What do you do at that moment to like say, here's why I deserve to win? Because you're thinking you're at seven. You're thinking it's just a few more votes and then I'm at three. What's the move you make? How do you flip the game on its head in a way that you don't jeopardize your own position?
I feel like for Baylor, the key all along is she has to show that she's more than just, you know, under the thumb of her mom. And
so what does she do? That's interesting. So she teams up with Natalie is what you're saying and blindsides John next week.
She needs to make a move that her mom doesn't endorse. And it doesn't have to necessarily be the Sierra thing where she votes her mom out. But, you know, what we said in the 49 Laws of Power about, you know, not being in the great man's shadow. And there's no greater than Missy and than Muffin. And she needs to get out of from the Muffin Top shadow.
You don't want to be shadowed by a muffin.
Yeah. And I think if she can do that, I think that she could say, hey, I'm what is she, 20, 21? I've grown so much. I've become a woman out here. I've become a grown up. I didn't do what my mom wanted me to do. I got here. I think that she could she could argue a case. She did well in some of the challenges. She won an immunity. You know, I think that she could make a case against the right people.
Do you think that move of like the Sierra move of like voting out her mom, is anyone going to be like, oh, well, she voted out her mom, I'm going to vote for her to win? I don't think anyone is going to like be like, oh, wow, you really play a great game because you backstabbed your mom. I mean, is that like going to be like
a determining factor? I'm pretty sure that when Sierra did that, there was somebody that was like, now that's how you play the game of Survivor.
Laura. That was Laura Moret and Jeff Probst.
So that's two people right there that really thought it was good.
Yeah, Laura, like the mom who was voted out and Jeff. It's one premise that I've been thinking about it a lot, Rob, and I don't know if now is the best time to bring it up.
Why not?
Yeah, we're on the air. But one thing that we've talked about a little bit back and forth is this idea that like you want to go to the end with a pair because a pair is going to be seen as equivalent.
Yeah.
But actually, like looking back on it, I think the opposite is true. I think in a pair, like people very much like think of them as almost diametric opposites, right? Where like when we look at the pairs who have gotten to the end in Survivor history, people will often think of them as like this one is the leader and this one is the coattail follower, you know, to the point where it's just like it's like dichotomous, where like it's not like this one had these qualities and that one had those qualities and they're sort of one mess and I hate them both. It's like this guy did all the moves and that one didn't. I think, you know, that was true for obviously me and JT. But if you look at like Todd and Amanda, or if you look at, you know, like Boston, Rob and Amber, right? Like pairs don't blend together. They often actually like separate out.
I think this is a great point that you're making, Stephen. And yeah, while I have argued this season, I would want to be the person who is in the final three with a pair, because I could argue my case as the anti, you know, vote for me. I'm the anti John and Jacqueline option. Right, you don't like John and Jacqueline, vote for me. You don't like Missy and Baylor, vote for me. But what you're saying, and then also the other part of that is that we said, okay, and then they'll split their support. But you feel like all of the support will end up on one side for the pair.
I mean, I'm just like, I've just been like thinking about it, you know, like, I don't know if necessarily that will be the case. I mean, you look at something like, you know, Parvati, Russell, and Sandra, right? Like Parvati and Russell were seen as kind of one gross unit. And then Sandra got like the not Parvati or Russell vote. But yeah, I do think often when there is just a strong pair, it's like people don't necessarily think of them as like one thing. They think of them as like two very different things and often like diametrically opposed things.
Yeah, and also I think this is a really fun thing to talk about in regards to the opening part of the entire episode. I got this whole 2-hour shindig kicked off tonight where John and Jacqueline are talking with Natalie.
Yes, exactly.
And Natalie was like, oh, like, John, it was so good that you played the idol, that you listened to me. And he's like, what? I was going to play the idol. And Jacqueline was like, no, I was saying to play the idol. And it was like they were all taking credit. And then when Natalie walked away, he's like, what? Why would you say that? You took away my credit for my good move. Like, you can't do that, because when we're in the final three, I need to get all the credit from people.
Yeah. It was interesting. That's exactly right. And that you could see was the thing that Jet was getting Jacqueline really upset, right? Was the all episode was she didn't want to be the one who was like also there, you know, she wanted credit. And that when John came back from exile and he was like, I know that, you know, like that's what was pissing her off, was he was like, oh, you, so you've got this without me. Like, I've got all this info. I'm a part of this partnership. Like, it wasn't like the actual info or the actual convo. It was like Jacqueline not getting to feel like she was a part of the partnership.
Steven, was John going to play the idol without Natalie's suggestion?
I mean, not what I saw on television. It's a very highly
and you are epic, and you know, are the number show. One John supporter.
I mean, I'm only a John supporter against you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So against anybody else, you wouldn't be.
No, I mean, I think John lasts longer than Missy. I don't think John's playing like the greatest game. I don't think John's playing a terrible game, though. Natalie herself said John is playing a great game.
Yes. Do you feel like the winner's edit came back for John? Because I definitely felt like it left for a while tonight.
This was such an interesting, the edit for this, for John, for this episode was so interesting, because like he looked like a total goober, right? With the whole wine sommelier thing, when Natalie's like, what a loser this guy is. But then he gets this like long speech at tribal council where he talks about his dad. Like, who gets that speech? Like this 3-minute speech at tribal. He's not the guy who's getting voted out. He's not the guy making the move. He's just a guy sitting there talking about his dad for 2 minutes. How do you think John doesn't win after that?
I don't know. Cool. Cause then right after Keith said, I'm not buying it, is, you know, so he could tell that story, but I'm not interested.
Yeah, it's interesting. You're right. You're absolutely right. I don't know.
And not for anything, look at the people that are over on the jury right now. How many of those people are buying the John story? I mean, the jury is very anti-John when you take a look at the people on it. You have Josh and Reed.
Yeah.
Not huge John fans. And then you have Keith and Wes and Jeremy.
So maybe this is like a why X other person wins. Like maybe this is like a why Baylor or why Keith or why Jacqueline wins. You know, it's like that Russell, you know, like Russell got every confession.
I'm sorry. Keith's not on the jury. Alec is on the jury.
Oh, well, I'm saying like, I'm just thinking of like, right. Yeah, Alec's on the jury. I'm saying like, you know, maybe like, you know, Russell got all these confessionals of his season, but like the story of that season was like why Russell screwed it up, right? Like why Russell lost. Maybe that's what this story is too. Maybe it's like why John, who's really is the big character of the season, right? Like John is the one who's like going back and forth. He's the one that every episode is about, how he kind of like doesn't make it in the end. And this is why like some rando like Keith or Baylor ends up getting $1 million, is because like people are so annoyed with John.
Oh my God. Okay. Let's keep going. By the way, it looks like the chat room ended up is not working right now. So if you're watching us live and struggling with that, I don't see it right now for me, but maybe it's just on my end. Nasra Isik wants to say, is Missy going to stick with Natalie and Baylor, or is Missy going to backstab Natalie and stick with John? Okay. So based on where we are right now, Well, and the information right. we know right now. How do you think that Missy, John, and Jacqueline will react to the Natalie betrayal?
I mean, we saw some shocked faces at Tribal Council, Rob.
They were extremely shocked.
Like, more shocked than you'd even think they'd be.
Like, they were shocked, like, to the degree of, like, think about, like, the biggest blindsides in Survivor history.
Yeah.
They were just totally, just
they
completely
were
blindsided.
Full Eliza's.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Full Eliza.
Yeah, they went full Eliza on us. Yeah. All right. So, but how do you think they react to this?
I think it's solvable, right? I think Natalie can say, like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I screwed up my vote. Oh, my God, dumb me.
But she told Baylor the plan. She told Baylor what she was going to do. And Baylor's going to squeal to mom. She's like, I'm telling mom, you didn't vote with the plan.
I don't think she is. I think Baylor's going to be like, this is my girlfriend, Natalie. You know, we're in it together.
What do you think about the Baylor-Alec thing? I mean, she seemed like she got duped pretty easily by Alec. Like, yeah, Alec sort of like, hey, I'll say whatever to these chicks to get whatever I want in this game. Watch that. And then he said, like, says to Baylor, he's like, what do you care? You're just going to vote me out anyway. You don't even like me that much. He's like, Alec.
Is there a 100% chance that they slept together after the game was over?
Baylor and Alec? That yeah. I can't speak to. That I don't know anything about.
I mean, you think it's like more like 300%.
I don't think so. I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay.
I think, you know, I don't think Baylor's
not,
that kind
I'm
of
not, I'm not shaming either of them. I think that's beautiful.
Yes. I don't think so. That Alec himself said he would never go on a date with anybody from Survivor. Right. And he made the merge.
He did make the merge. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's dateable.
But I felt like Baylor did get duped pretty hard by falling for Alec's BS.
I mean, he didn't get duped. She didn't get duped that hard because she still voted him out. I guess she didn't really vote him out, though, did she? No, like, no, you're right.
She wanted to vote out Keith.
And she was trying to keep, Alec.
She wanted to keep Alec in the game. That's why she didn't want to go with the plan.
Yeah.
She was against the plan. She likes Alec. Yeah. Baylor and Alec sitting in a tree.
Yeah.
Alec. All right. So what about Crystal?
Crystal wants to know, are Baylor and Muffin too blinded by the boys, John and Alec, for their own good?
All right, Steven, what about this subplot that comes up that Baylor secretly resents John because he reminds Baylor of one of Muffin's exes? And
another scumbag.
And also, the question is, does Missy see John as like, he's perfect. He's just like a guy I'd be into.
She says that, right? Like, he's my guy. I gotta look out for him.
He's my kind of guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is weird. I mean, but is Missy, I actually, you know, Missy's had, you know, she's had not the best edit. She's had like a hard sort, you know, people have been hard on her. We've called her Muffin. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
What does Muffin think though?
Yeah. She's actually playing a pretty level-headed game across the board. I think, you know, I have faith that Muffin is going to make the right call at the final five. If she's not medevac next week, what? Then I'll be the knowingest know-it-all.
Let's say. I'm exasperated where I'm like, I'm so right about everything that I said. And by some, like, this is a story of my life with Survivor. I could be right about everything and still be wrong. Right. And then that, you know, there's 15 people that did all the wrong things. Oh, man, look at me. I'm a genius. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a know-it-all.
You know what you should do? You know what you should get into?
What's that?
Fan fiction.
Fan
fiction. I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
I mean, how many times does John have to almost get voted out for us to say definitively this was a bad move to blindside Jeremy?
Yeah. Won't the results, if John wins the game, no, look, obviously John has gotten incredibly lucky twice, right? Like last week, he had no idea that Reed was gunning for him and he played his idol at the last second. This week, he had no idea that Natalie was gunning for him and he happened to win immunity.
That's not luck that he wins immunity. You know, that you have to give him credit for winning immunity.
It's not strategy.
Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, and Keith came very close to beating him there for immunity. So, but in both instances, he would have been out by final, you know, in the final seven and would not have done as well if he would have just stuck with the six. But
yeah. And he didn't know. He didn't know. Right. He wasn't like, oh, I need to win this immunity because of this. Like, it wasn't like a conscious thing. I mean, I kind of think of him as like Mr. Magoo, who's just like dodging out of bullets, like without even knowing where he's walking.
Yeah. And then for of all things, if Missy gets medevaced and that's how John stays in the game longer than Missy, like that is such BS.
Yeah, you can start making excuses now, Rob.
Yeah, but I'm on podcast one. This is like I'm Bret Hart, and I got so I'm getting screwed here. And
The game is flawed.
The game is flawed. So I'm very upset about this. If that's how it goes,
you know what? For me, it was always about the edit. It was always about John's edit versus Missy's edit.
Mm-hmm.
It was never about the game. I never thought John was a better player. I think Missy's probably a really good player.
All right, Joey 0424. Do you remember when it used to be difficult to find a hidden immunity idol on Survivor? Yeah, Steven, I want to talk about this. Yeah, this is annoying to me. It's just like, okay, well, who should we send to Exile Island? Oh, let's send John. And you knew as soon as they showed him on the Exile Island, we're going to find the, like, why even hide the immunity idol on Exile Island?
They should just give it to you as you walk onto Exile.
Yeah, it should just be like in the urn.
That's Jeff. He's like, okay, whatever. John, you're in Exile. Here's the idol. You know, Missy, you win the challenge. Who do you want to pick?
Here's what it should be. You go to Exile Island and there's like two eggs, and instead of one has the clue and the other one doesn't, one has the idol, the other one doesn't. If you break the wrong one, you don't get the idol.
That's fun.
Yeah. Although I feel like from production, it's like, well, we like having the idol in the game.
They want the idol in the game. Of course they do.
They want the idol in the game. So they make it like, oh, it's so hard to find. But if they want the idol in the game, it'd just be whoever goes to Exile Island is coming back with the immunity idol.
But then it's not a fun, like, oh, who are you sending? Is it a bad thing or is it a good thing? Then you're just like sending your friend.
I know. I hate it. It's so easy to find.
It is. There needs to be like some new wrinkle where it's not harder or easier to find, but like it takes three people to move the rock over the idol, you know, like where there's like some teamwork component to it or something.
Yeah. Like, they should call it people, Happy Meal Island. It's you go there and you get the prize and that's it.
Yeah. Okay. And you know,
I could so go for a Happy Meal right now.
Yeah. Jacqueline likes to eat too, doesn't she? We were talking about how John likes to eat. Everyone on this season, they're also hungry.
Hungry. Well, what do you think about spaghetti in bed? What the hell is that about?
That's a weird one. That's like a, would you kick someone out of bed for eating spaghetti?
Well, I think that I would need to drill down with more questions. I don't have enough information to answer that question, Stephen.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's keep going with Kentucky 95. Didn't I see a commercial with Jeff saying they'd have to draw rocks, or did I dream it? Okay, good. Good. We talked about this with John and Candace. Stephen, a lot of people were upset this week because during CBS football, I know you're a big NFL guy. During the Patriots versus the Packers game, they showed the commercial on, hey, Wednesday night on CBS, it's going to be a huge tribal council where Survivor, the vote is going to go to rocks on Survivor, blood versus water.
Really?
From last year, they showed the old commercial and a lot of people were upset about that. People were upset because they were spoilers. And they're like, they ruined Tribal Council. They're going to go to rocks this week.
Last year.
But it was a commercial from last season. And so people just, like, were tweeting to Jeff Probst. They did
it. Like, that's really weird. I don't know. I work in television. I don't know how that would happen.
I don't know. Because that if something is labeled Survivor Blood versus Water, episode 11.
Right.
And then apparently internally they're calling this season Blood versus Water 2.
And they didn't forget the 2.
Survivor Blood versus Water 2. And maybe like the 2 is cut off from like how far they could see over. But this it's happened more than once this season where they aired during football a commercial from the first Blood versus Water. But it's funny that people got pissed off this week.
Yeah. I mean, you got spoiled that, you know, Tyson wins, guys. Sorry.
I'll ask Tyson if he's upset about the spoilers that he had to go to rocks this week. And I just see that Scott dropped off there. So let me go ahead.
Yeah, you can't find good help, Rob.
It's tough. We had the chat room went down and then Scott St. Pierre went down. Like, this could be.
We're here. The world is falling apart, but we will be here forever.
Yeah. Some sort of calculated. So, Scott, if you could still hear us, send us some send me some questions on G-Chat. Otherwise, Stephen and I will start to wrap things up. Anything else from the episode? I mean, who do you think is the next one to go out, Stephen?
Missy.
So you're convinced that it's going to be a medevac for Missy next week?
I mean, I never want to wish suffering on anybody, and I think a medevac is a terrible way to leave the game. But if that wins me the title of knowing a snow at all, then yes.
I'm exasperated. I'm exasperated about this. And if that's the case, Steven, yeah. So do you think that this season will be a final two instead of a final three?
I still think we're getting a final three. Do the math,
Fishback.
In my heart, I think it's
final
I
six.
Think it's Keith, Baylor, and John, or perhaps John, Jacqueline, and Baylor. For some reason, I think Keith has got more game to play.
Okay, but just so if there's a medevac next week and a vote off, that's going to leave us down to four people by the end of the episode. So unless we're doing the thing where we're going to have like a advantage for the final three challenge or something like that.
It may not be both. It may just be one.
Okay. All right. Let's.
It would be weird to like spoil that and then have that be.
I guess if we went into the finale with four people, I guess it could be a final two or a final three. We've seen it.
That's what Survivor China was. Final three, I believe, four people in the finale.
Yeah, and also in Survivor Philippines, it was a final three and four people in the finale. But I think typically it's been when there's a final four, we get down to a final two.
I would just like to see rites of passage. I love that.
I don't think so. I don't think Jeff likes it. Okay, I love it. A couple more questions.
Ulm Warhawk wants to know, Mr. Fishback, is John now eligible for the Wine and Cheese Club? After finding out he is a wine connoisseur, he would be a welcome addition. If Jacqueline is a cheese connoisseur.
Oh. Okay, you have to be one or the other?
You know, or both. But I feel like together, John and Jacqueline are a great Survivor player. And, you know, maybe together they'd be a great wine and cheese member.
Is that how it works? Would there be tension between Josh and Reed?
I hope not. You know how those things work.
Okay, I hope not. All right. I hope not. Okay, let's go to please 456. Says, would Baylor really have flipped on her mom if she had a chance? Again, she didn't flip on her mom. She just was going to do something behind her mom's back.
Yeah, I think Baylor is not, you know, I don't think she's going to betray her mom. I think it's not the Sierra Laura Moret kind of relationship.
Okay. Would you be worried that John was going to drink all the wine if you had him there? He didn't look like a connoisseur. He looked like a guy that was just like, hey, look what
he was sniffing. Come on.
But he was like, also then.
You know, that's the true gourmand, right? Gourmand is someone who both enjoys and appreciates.
Okay.
Jordan R. 18 wants to know, do you get the feeling Natalie made a big move just to make a big move? We talked about this, and yes.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
That is correct. Swampert Rocks wants to say, would you be upset if Keith won, and would you be happy if Nat won? I would say yes and yes.
Yeah, there's something about Keith that I just find really like likable, but I would be very happy if Nat won. I don't think it'll happen after tonight. I wouldn't mind if Keith won. I find him really likable.
Steven, will you be inviting Alec to the Be in the Wine and Cheese club?
I'm so scared he'll flirt with everybody.
Well, he would flirt with everybody, but he is a connoisseur of the cream cheese. He wants to put it on everything.
Yeah.
That would be good, right? That counts.
Cream cheese counts.
All right, two more questions. Let's take this one. The Corner Men TV.
Don't think that Missy would have taken her to top three over Nat. Natalie wants somebody to beat John in the immunity challenge. I don't know what that's saying.
I think they're saying that that's why they're keeping. She wants to keep Keith around because she needs to beat Keith
that's
to
right.
beat John in the challenges. That's a stretch. I think that's a stretch.
It is a weird. I don't think that's such a stretch because like that, you know, she even said that, oh, Keith, you're so stupid. You didn't win today in the challenge. She said something like that.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
It was a little bit like a Schwarzenegger-esque.
Yeah. Well, I think of
Keith,
her as very
what are you doing?
She's like the Terminator.
Yeah. All right. Let's do one more. This is from Jack Conroy wants to say, with two idols still in play and the end of the game closing in, when do you think the producers will decide that the last day to play idols will be and will any be played? So when do you think we'll get the idols played up until final four, final five? What?
Final five.
Final five.
And okay. I think we're going to see two idols come out.
Two idols come out. We have a final six here. Natalie has an idol. Nobody knows. See, here's the thing, though. Natalie told Baylor, which I wish she wouldn't have done. And then they told Missy.
I think it was a good move for Natalie. I think that was a good move at the time. Now it looks worse.
Can I tell you what pissed me off though tonight about this? When Natalie and Baylor tell Missy about the idol. And at first I was like, oh, good for Baylor for not telling Missy right away about the idol. And Missy is like, my daughter made me so proud that my daughter found an idol. Really, it's like, not really. She was kind of just there.
She was like next to Natalie.
She was kind of just there. And Natalie was like, Baylor, come on, let's go to find an idol. And Baylor's like, what? Really? And she's like, no, Baylor, I'm telling you, let's go look for it. You fool. And so, but Missy was like, oh, she was so proud of Baylor for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But hey, look, that as a parent, my kid could do like so he says one word, you're very proud. So maybe I can relate to Missy.
Yeah. Look, if Dominic found an idol, how old is he? 2? Like, I think that would be pretty impressive.
Like, he's like, he's 15 months.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, that would be really something.
Yeah, that would be good. And he finds everything. He finds, how did he get that? I thought that was like up on a shelf. How did he find that? He's so smart. Oh my God. We're beaming. Okay. Yeah. So Steven, who's getting the fish sheet tonight? I know it's a two.
It's a hard one. I thought about it a lot. No fishies.
What?
No fishies.
What?
Who deserves a
2-hour episode and no fishy?
Nobody deserves it.
No, none.
Who?
Not even your boy, John?
You know what? John didn't, he almost got blindsided. He happened to win a meeting.
Oh, what about the thing where you give it to Jeff Probst? That's a good one.
I sometimes like to give it to like the weather or production. I don't know.
Give it to me.
One curve offer probably deserves it. There were some fun challenges tonight. But yeah.
Hey, how about Keith?
He won
immunity in the first one.
And then he convinced Natalie to keep him. If anybody, it would be Keith. But I feel like he didn't do that much. Like, it's a lot, I can't devalue the fishy.
Steven, in the kingdom of the blind, the man with one eye gets the fishy.
I do think if anybody deserved it tonight, it actually would have been Keith. Because, like, he was going home and then he didn't go home. And, like, what else can you say than that? He made the results are there.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. All right. Exit interviews tomorrow. Reed and Alec, Tyson Cast, People Blog. So much to do on a very busy Survivor Thursday.
What else? You know what? Just everyone take tomorrow off work and just listen and
play read. Hooky. No, take work off on Friday because the Tyson Cast won't be up until late.
And that'll probably be like 12 hours.
Well, the thing I said to Tyson was, I was like, hey, it's a 2-hour episode when we talk. He's like, oh, then the podcast will be 6 hours then.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll see. Lots to do. Don't forget, it's Cyber Monday Deals Week on Amazon.com. Oh. Get a great deal on all sorts of items for Christmas, for Hanukkah, for Kwanzaa, for just overall, get started on the right foot for the new year, whatever you want. Go ahead, Amazon.com. Go to robinswebsite.com/Amazon or in Canada, robinswebsite.com/AmazonCA and check out the Cyber Monday Deals Week. Steven, great job. Thanks for staying up a little later than you normally do here with us.
Hey, you know what? For you, for this podcast, anything really.
Yeah. You have a hashtag?
Oh, God. Wink, wink.
What did you call John twice? A sommelier?
He's a sommelier.
Try to spell that one.
Yeah, it's not gonna be the clearest hashtag.
Do you have a backup?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I see that Rob Noxious in the chat room is saying Twinny no.
Twinny no, I like that. Twinny no, that's fool. Good. You were saying it, that's part of this episode. That's part of the history of this podcast.
Part of the history Twinny of the no. podcast. All right, Steven, you have a great night. Everybody have a great Thursday. We'll be back with much, much more. Have a good night, everybody. Subscribe to Rob's podcast, robswebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye. The smoke.